95.5 FM in Ashland, Oregon. As a family-owned business, the Northwest Nature Shop offers gifts, toys, and tools to help adults and children learn about nature and science. The store is located at 154 Oak Street in Ashland. Call 541-482-3241 or visit www.northwestnatureshop.com for more information. KSKQ thanks Northwest Nature Shop and listeners like you for supporting community radio.
Good afternoon. It is 5 o'clock and you are listening to KSKQ 89.5 FM in Ashland, Oregon. 5 o'clock Wednesdays brings us up to Beer Radio.
Sicher muss der Wein vom Rhein etwas Wunderbares sein.
Sicher ist am feinen Sekt etwas, was besonders schmeckt.
Sicher ist der Schnaps so scharf, dass man einen heben darf.
Aber heute seid gescheit, liebe Leute. Im Himmel gibt's kein Bier, drum trinken wir es hier.
Jeder Mensch hat seinen Tick und seine Eigenart.
Eine fliegt auf glatt rasiert, die andere auf den Bart.
Einer möchte nur Fußball spielen, dem anderen ist das Wurst.
Wir allein gestehen es ein, wir haben immer Durst.
Vom Rhein etwas Wunderbares sein.
Sicher ist am feinen Sekt etwas, was besonders schmeckt.
Sicher ist der Schnaps so scharf, dass man einen heben darf.
Aber heut seid gescheit, liebe Leute. Im Himmel gibt's kein Bier, drum trinken wir es hier. Denn sind wir nicht mehr hier, dann trinken die anderen.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Beer Radio. I am Ginger Johnson, your host. It's good to be back with you live from Ashland, Oregon on KSKQ 89.5 FM. It's always a thrill to be here. I was in the recording studio earlier today and Carson, our program manager, was showing me how to record IDs, station IDs. That was a lot of fun. So hopefully you're tuning in for more than Beer Radio, which is great. We always appreciate you listening to Beer Radio. We've got lots of great shows. Check us out at kskq.org anytime and access the archives and listen in wherever you can. Streaming is great for most people. We have a signal here in Southern Oregon, and hopefully a lot of people outside of Southern Oregon are also listening in. So check it out. So we are here again. I am Ginger Johnson, your host, Beer Radio, of course. I have Women Enjoying Beer. We are beer researchers and educators, and one of our tools is being able to be a producer here at KSKQ in Ashland, and it's a lot of fun. I won't lie to you. It's great fun. And we talk to all kinds of people in the beer community, and tonight is no exception, with the exception James Book. Hello, James.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing extremely well, except for, I'll have you know, I'm giving up my 5 o'clock pint to speak with you. A worthy cause, of course.
Oh, well, you don't have to, you know, don't hold back on my account.
Oh, no, I never do.
Sipping and talking is, you know, it's a social lubricant to begin with, so.
That's true, but I got to get in the car and go do something, so
yes.
we'll skip.
Yes, okay. Well, you give me a heads up when you need to take that few-minute break and get in the car, and then we will recommence.
Sounds good.
Excellent. So James is with Ninkasi Brewing in Eugene, Oregon. James, tell us, first of all, where people can find out about Ninkasi online, please.
NinkasiBrewing.com, and you can find us at /Ninkasi Brewing from Facebook or Twitter. And we've been around since 2006 professionally, and we're in our fifth year, and we're still having lots of fun.
Oh my gosh! And you're just exploding with lots of wonderful things. And just to make sure everybody knows, Ninkasi is spelled Ninkasi, nice and clean and straightforward. Of course, the Sumerian goddess of fermentation. Love that. That's such a great fit. I remember seeing some of your YouTube videos using the goddess in a couple settings. Who played that goddess? Or can you not tell that?
Which goddess are you referring to? I mean, which video
goddess?
Oh,
okay, yeah. Okay, there's a lot of them.
Honestly, I don't know any of them, but we have a lot of friends here in Eugene. And
yes.
For people that don't know, the Sumerians were the first written language. And, you know, our theory is, and a popular theory seems to be, that it was the need to, you know, write down how to ferment. And it was so important that education stemmed from that, and then, you know, civilized times basically started right when beer was beginning to be made.
Well, of course, it's got a lot more civilized in a big hurry, didn't it?
That's right, yeah.
That's good, James. I like that. So why don't you share with us what you do with Ninkasi?
I am the Ninkasi Marketing Director. My team is pretty much the customer-facing people here at the brewery. We have a sales department that works with our distributor partners and with, you know, what we call our accounts. Those are all of our friends at bars and stores that sell our beer. But my department is customer-centric, and we do lots of events. We run a program called Beer is Love that you can find out more about it at our homepage. But Beer is Love is essentially our program of nonprofit support.
Mm-hmm.
And we also support lots and lots of artists.
Oh, boy, do you ever.
We do. We have a recording studio right here at the brewery, as you know. You've been in there.
Yes.
And, you know, in my previous life, I was in the music business, and it just sort of, it all just kind of bled together. And my little sort of hobby record label has become part of our marketing, and we're able to enable some of our partner artists with recordings and get them out on the road, and they can spread the word for us. So it's pretty symbiotic.
Yeah, absolutely. I dug your studio when you showed Larry and I that, and I would love to get up there to do some recording. I have no idea what that's going to look like, but we'll figure something out because it's a great facility. Do those ridiculous holiday carols that really trip some people's triggers. But anyway, so how did you get into, let's go back a little farther. You know, the beer community, as we both know, is chock full. I won't just say peppered. It's chock full of people that come from all kinds of different backgrounds and reasons for being in the industry and so forth. So let's go farther back than beer for you to start with, James. Let's go back to your music entree. How did you get involved with music and the band The Flies? Of course, I just played the song in that video for my program director. I'm like, Carson, have you ever heard of The Flies? They said, well, you know, blah, blah, blah. And so I pulled it up because it's a fun song. And of course, I remember that when it came out. So how did you get into music to begin with?
I wanted to drink free beer. So I was, you know, like any kid, I wanted to, like, you know, delusions of grandeur. But I grew up in Chico, and I actually moved away right before Sierra Nevada started, so I just missed that boat. But went to Southern California, did the Hollywood thing, and had my 15 minutes and the whole one-hit wonder deal. But what I didn't expect was to, you know, all those Europe tours for years and years. I spent about 20 years on the road, and I had no idea I was doing my beer research when I was in Europe all that time. So it just, when it came time to, you know, leave the party, so to speak, I packed it all up and came up here to Oregon, and you know, I was sort of a hobbyist craft brewer, and just, you know, Ninkasi started to happen, and we got in cahoots. And the rest is history.
Yeah. So how did you get in cahoots with was it Jamie or Nikos or somebody else, or how did you cahoot about it?
Well, I knew Jamie. Well, everybody knows Jamie, right? But I knew Jamie, and I was co-opting some of my ingredients. I was trying to get a little startup brewery, a little nano brewery going myself called Brown Bottle Brewing, and I was co-opting some ingredients from Jamie and Nikos. And Nikos had approached me, and we weren't friends yet. We knew each other, but we weren't really the friends we are now at that time. And he approached me to open a studio because he had heard about my music stuff. And I thought that sounded like a good idea, and then I had just so happened I had just tasted Total Domination. This is in 2008.
Okay.
And you know, he went out looking for a space to, for us to build this studio venture together. And ironically, we have that now in the brewery. But back then, I had just tasted Total Domination, and when he got back to me a couple weeks later and said, "Hey, the bad news is I can't do the studio venture with you. The good news is we want you to come work with us." So I was at a huge intersection in my life. I just had my daughter, my wife did,
mm-hmm.
and I was basically just producing records at that time and trying to get this beer project off the ground. So my partners understood, and I just jumped on board right then.
Right on, and they are so lucky to have you. You bring so much to Ninkasi, so that's I'm tickled pink that you're there. So
well, thanks. I feel like the fortunate one, but we're definitely having a good time.
Yes, you are. And having just been up in Eugene and gotten to hang out with the whole crew darn near, Kyle, that was just nothing but fun. I mean, I was looking forward to it, but holy crap, that was fantastic. And the whole crew, Zoe and Jules and Jamie and Cheryl and blah blah blah. Blah 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 blah. It was great. Did the sensory with Jamie in the new sensory lab, or the expansion of the sensory lab, and had Dana in there, and then your lab Dana, and then your brewer Dana, and that was really cool. Have you been in there to do sensory? I take it.
Yeah, we get the you know, we're so spread out now. We call it the Ninkasi campus here, covering a couple. Small blocks here in the Whitaker district, but we get the email from Dana, come over right now, and you know, sensory's on. So you go outside of the brewery and you see people coming from all directions to walk over there and do the sensory.
Very cool. Excellent. So tell me why you were tapped to do the marketing in particular, James.
It was a very organic process. I don't think it was, I mean, Nikos has certainly built his company the way he wants it, and that was part of it. But as far as like my expertise, I came from the do-it-yourself music business school, where, you know, we licensed our own records and did our own advertising and marketing, and right before the cusp of the internet, where it was all very mailing list based. But you know, we did the stickering that we do now is basically a redo of what Shepard Fairey used to do back in the 90s in LA. Of course, he's the artist who stickered everywhere, and ended up doing the Obama Hope poster.
Okay.
So there's an interesting film called Exit Through the Gift Shop about that. But the biggest difference for us is we don't really want to litter. It's not very right on to do that.
Right.
So, you know, we still put out about 250,000 stickers a year, but we do it at beer fests and we do it on people. So with their permission, we'll sticker people, and then they can go put them in their house or wherever they want to put them.
Right. And I noticed at the KLCC Fest that we were both just at a week and a half ago that every single person that walked by where I was had a Ninkasi sticker on. I'm like, well, that's good branding.
Yeah, and as you are as well, you know, I'm a firm believer in branding, and if that sticker can ride home in a cab on a buzzed person and then make its way under the refrigerator every time they go there for a beer, it's like pretty good location for your brand.
Yeah, for sure. I know some places don't allow stickers anymore for good reason, because unfortunately some people have abused them, but there are still certainly lots of venues where you can bring them, and there's something about a sticker that's just very fun to all of the 5-year-olds in us.
Sure. And we don't put them on kids because of the law, but if the parents want to do that, that's legal.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Can't market on kids or have Santa Claus on your beer labels, which we do on one of them. So.
Yeah, you do. That's Slayer, right?
I don't know how we've been getting away with that for these years. Maybe it's because he's throwing up the rock and roll devil horns on one hand. It kind of takes it to the adult realm.
Huh. Interesting.
Hard to say.
Yeah. Well, we won't worry about that right now. You're listening to Beer Radio. We are here in Ashland, Oregon, 89.5 KSKQ.org. You can stream us anytime, and you can check out the archives once the programs are done, or you can listen to other programs that have already been with our fabulous guests, like our guest today, James Book from Ninkasi. James, thanks again for joining us.
Good to be here.
Absolutely. And I am Ginger, your host, Ginger Johnson. You can reach out to me. You can tell me how much you loved having James on the show, or other suggestions. Talk about just about anything. You can shoot me an email, ginger@womenenjoyingbeer.com. Happy to field any questions and so forth. And we're on Facebook as well, Women Enjoying Beer, separate words. And then on Twitter, you can tweet along with us, at Women Enjoy Beer. James, tell us again where they can find Ninkasi online.
NinkasiBrewing.com or / Ninkasi Brewing from Facebook or Twitter.
Excellent. I love it. And then, isn't it just at Ninkasi for Twitter? Or is it?
Or that, yep.
They both are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, splendid. You've got all the bases covered. Excellent. So Ninkasi started in 06. Yes?
06, that's 06. Right. We're in our fifth year. We finished last year at about just under 57,000 barrels.
Okay.
And we're pacing this year. It's only late February, but it's looking like we're going to hit about 75,000 barrels this year.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
And it just came out that we're now faster growing in our first 5 years than New Belgium. So that's kind of a scary title, but that just happened.
Wow. So is the goal of the company, and maybe you know this, maybe you don't, maybe you can share it, maybe you can't, but you're all pretty good sharers. Is the goal of the company to keep growing in size, or what does Ninkasi want to accomplish with the beers that you put out and the culture that you're building?
No, our goal is just to drink great beer. I think that's a goal shared by all of our employees. You know, when something grows its own legs, so to speak, and takes off and starts, you know, goes from crawling to walking to running, you're not going to stand in your child's way. You're going to do everything you can to help it, of course. But, we're not... When you grow this fast, you sort of get a reputation that you're like some kind of, you have an agenda to be this behemoth or something. It's not the case at all. I don't want to say too much about our margins, but
certainly,
our beers aren't as profitable as a lot of other beers out there. It's definitely it's art for us, and we make beer that we love and that we're glad that our customers like too.
Mm-hmm. Very good, and you've got some lovely... lovely tastes that are available, so that's great. And we don't talk about prices here on the air, but we do talk about where you can find it and availability. Your site, for one, is very comprehensive. Anybody can go to ninkasibrewing.com. You can find out all kinds of great information. We're not going to talk about a lot of that information because you can find that already. And James, you got all kinds of other good stuff to share with us. It's not on the website, so but you can go there. I did notice that there are 14 brands that are represented along the bottom of the Ninkasi site. And so, obviously, there's a huge variety. How many of those are regulars, and how many of those are seasonals, James?
Without going to my own homepage and looking, I can tell you that I don't know. But those are a lot of those beers were one-offs and beers we've made over the years. Some may come back. Some may not. We have, in addition to our flagship and our seasonals that come out every year, we have about 28 releases planned for the year total.
Really? Wow.
Including, we're doing a nonprofit beer to commemorate the city of Eugene's 150th anniversary, the proceeds from that one will go to Food for Lane County and Cultural Services in Eugene.
Oh, that's exciting. When's that coming out?
That comes out in April.
Okay.
And there's a whole bunch of one-off stuff like that. We have our lager series this year, including Helles Bells.
Mm-hmm.
It's a German-style Helles, and that beer is coming out April 15th.
Okay.
To help offset tax.
I was just going to guess that.
And really excited about the beer. Tony, whom I think you know, Ginger, is a really great artist who does all of our packaging, and he did the six-pack carrier looks like an amplifier.
Nice.
So it's awesome. Yeah, it's just, for me, for my background, I'm in love with that.
Woo-hoo,
so
yeah,
we're trying to get the female AC/DC. They play the AC/DC songs. They're called Helles Bells.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I don't know if you're familiar, but they might play our release party.
Oh, are they a tribute band?
They're a tribute band.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, that's funny.
And they're available the night that we're going to be releasing it. So we're working on that. And then we have a whole bunch of other single batch beers that we do. We have some really talented brewers.
Yes.
Including Dana, who you just met.
Mm-hmm.
And all of our single batch beers are beers that that feature the recipes from some of our other brewers.
Okay.
Jamie is our founding brewer and the godfather of most of our flagship stuff, but he's really open to letting all of our other talented brewers bring some of their recipes to light. So that's cool.
Absolutely. When you brew those one-offs, do they vary in size of batch then too, James? Meaning, you've got a pretty big production size, and so to meet this crazy demand you've made for yourself. So do you have a smaller system you brew on, or do you brew smaller batches, or how does that, do you know the answer to that question?
No, that's a great question. And actually, I do know that my original nano system is back there, and I don't think it's being used for small batches. It's just not the same thing,
Right.
But we have a 55 barrel system that we brew on, and typically we just go for it.
Yeah, excellent. Right on. It's a beautiful place. And you offer public tours?
We do tours. You can check out the brewery, and if I'm here, I like taking people into the studio, which is just across the alley by the pinball arcade.
Mm-hmm.
But Zoe, who runs our tasting room, schedules all of our tours, and Okay. Do that.
Excellent. Right on. You're listening to Beer Radio. We have special guest James Book from Ninkasi Brewing on with us today. I am Ginger Johnson, your host. Thanks for joining us. You can stream us anytime, kskiq.org. And also, we've got a boatload of great archives on that site. Also, dig around, find what you like. We've got a huge variety of great programming on community-supported radio. And so, like Ninkasi, very community-oriented, here we are. Thanks. So let's see. Got a couple other things. Let's see here. So tell us a little bit about the Eugene beer scene, James, from your vantage point. What is it? What does it look like? And what's going on? And what do you see the writing on the wall to be for Eugene, Oregon, and beer?
Well, it's an awesome place to live and make beer. We're not Bend. We don't have a brewery for every five people, but. We have a lot of breweries here, and you know, our friends at Oakshire are making some great beers. The guys that ran one of the local homebrew shops have opened Falling Sky, and they have a brew pub that they're
right.
getting into. I actually have not been over there yet, but I've tasted their beer. It's delicious.
Yeah, didn't they have the juniper beer at the KLCC Fest?
Is that what
they
had?
Did.
I didn't even make it over there.
Yeah, it's really tasty. Yeah. Yeah, keep going.
Yeah, so, yeah, they great beers, though, great guys. I know they make a great stout. I just tried that, the Buffalo Stout.
Mm.
But, yeah, good beer here. Hot Valley is the other area brewery, and they're over in Springfield. They're actually in our original building where we started back in 2005. We outgrew the space pretty much just under a year, but cool to see them over there making beer, too.
Yeah, absolutely. I know my fine husband and I had the opportunity to stop there because, of course, you know, when you're into beer, when you travel, you're like, where do we stop for lunch? Well, what's the local? What's the local pub or what's the local tap room or what might it be? And so we checked that out. And so that was fun to find out that was your first space. Now, was that previously a German restaurant? Is that right?
It was previous to Jamie and Nico's hauling up over there. They were the original guys over there, and the first batch of Total Domination came out of there. So
right.
some good juju in that space.
Yeah, right on. That's a fun one. So you've got some great colleagues there in town in the beer community professionally, as well as, of course, lots of great enthusiasts on the consumer level.
Yeah, and, you know, just being in Oregon, aside from the great ingredients that we're just blessed with here, there's so many awesome beers around the state. Certainly, you know, Lariat's, Standing Stone, and Ashland's got a whole lineup of what it does down there. It's easy to be inspired when you're in Oregon.
It is, isn't it? It's a beautiful place to live. We've got a lot of agricultural crops. We've got a lot of people that are thinking progressively and thoughtfully about taking care of the earth and the planet and so forth, too. So I think that's a big component of the beer community in general as well.
Yeah, we only got one, don't we?
Yeah, we do. that's at least what we hear. So who knows? Excellent. So you mentioned, let's go back to your brown bottle brewing. So you were a home brewer.
It was a home brewer. We built our own sort of, I don't know, for the home brewers out there, Sabco makes that sort of half barrel kit. It's like a keg mm-hmm. conversion unit where you're working in that size system. We built our own. We tried to build our own and made some really bad beer for a little while. And it started right when we started to figure it out is when we folded it from when I came over here to Ninkasi. So
okay,
but yeah, home brewing's great. You know, thank goodness for Jimmy Carter for making it legal.
Yeah, and of course everybody brewed right along all the time anyway. But in 1979, of course, it was made legal. If you ever get to Des Moines, you distribute in Iowa.
We do not. We're in six states, but not Des Moines.
Okay, so if you ever go there, one of the events you should do and one of the launches you should do is called El Bait Shop and the High Life Lounge. And El Bait Shop has Jimmy Carter night every week. There's a lot of very active homebrewers in central Iowa, and they have that Jimmy Carter night. And, of course, they can't sell it since it's homebrew, but what a cool thing to feature the homebrewers because, as you and I also know, and probably some of our audience members know, a lot of professional brewers got their start by homebrewing.
Yeah, including Jamie Floyd.
There you go. Absolutely. So you're six states. Wheel them off. How many states?
Alaska. Mm-hmm. A little bit up there. We are in. We just now are going into Montana.
Okay.
We're in Idaho, Washington, Oregon, and we're in Northern California on the peninsula in the Bay Area. I believe we are in BevMo chain as well. Still too.
Okay. Still, we're not sure about
that. That could be shifting as our landscape changes down there. That could
sure.
be being adjusted.
Sure. Okay. Very good. So, and even though Oregon is a self-distribution state, which means that brewers can self-distribute, do you do much self-distribution, or do you rely on some great partnerships with distributors?
Yeah, we've got really good distributor partners, except for here, right here in Eugene and Corvallis area.
Mm-hmm.
We self-distribute.
Okay.
Steve Lyons runs our self-distribution company, and I believe there's 7 of us now on that team.
Okay.
And we're with Western Beverage for the rest of the state, including right across the river from us in Springfield. They handle that for us.
Okay, very good. Yeah, I know that some of those relationships are excellent, and some will take a little more work, but overall, of course, we need the distributors to keep bringing that great beer to the people.
We most certainly do, and we're with Miletus in Portland, actually.
Oh, so okay.
Western for the rest of the state, but
all
yeah,
right.
Miletus in Portland.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, the three-tier system's interesting, isn't it?
It is.
I'll leave that in your lap.
Yeah, it is. In fact, I just pitched you know Sam Merritt, James?
I don't think I do.
Civilization of Beer, you should meet him. He's a great guy. He's out in New York. He's also an educator, and he and I just pitched a proposal for the National Beer Wholesalers Conference this year, talking about the fourth tier. So what do you suppose the fourth tier would be? Well, for the listeners, the three tiers are, of course, the brewery or importer, the distributor, and then the retailer. So who are we missing?
The customer?
Exactly! James, you're so smart. Yeah, ding, 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 ding. Hey, I'll buy you a beer next time we're together. Excellent. You are listening to Beer Radio. I'm Ginger Johnson, your host, and I am tickled beery to have a good friend and colleague, James Book, from Ninkasi Brewing with us live from Eugene, Oregon. James, thanks again for joining us.
Thank you. Very glad to be here.
Absolutely. And you're gonna have to skitter off to Salem, so you got to get in a car in a little bit. What's going on in Salem?
We have an event tonight, and I'm making a mad dash to my calendar. And I'll tell you, as soon as my very slow connection.
No, that's okay.
Up.
That's okay. I got my analog one here that you are so fond of.
Oh, do you? Are you still using clay tablets, Ginger?
Hang on, my chisel just dropped. I'm going to get the abacus out, make sure how much time we have left.
Exactly.
Anyway, so are you going to be at the Craft Brewers Conference again this year, James?
I will. It's in San Diego. Woohoo!
Yes, it is. And here we go. Back to San Diego we all go. And then there's a lot of beer going on in San Diego. I'm guessing that Ninkasi has a pretty good presence there. Would that be true?
Actually, we don't distribute south of San Francisco, but we do. We've been doing the beer fest down there, down in SoCal in general for a couple of years. So, if you mean friends, we have a very good presence of friends down there.
Yeah,
but you know, honestly, you don't really want to open up that can of worms and make your beer available in a country the size of Southern California until you're really ready. So we're not in a hurry.
A country. Do they have their own anthem and things like that?
Yeah.
Card-carrying members only allowed?
Right.
Oh, dear. Funny. Yes. So let's see. What else do we want to talk about? We got lots of things that we could talk about. So I want to talk a little bit more about the one-offs, if you're comfortable talking about that.
Yeah, that's fine.
The single batches. How do some of those come about? Are you involved in how some of those come about, James? And where do they come from?
I do our communication, so you know, I get to talk to probably the most people, aside from maybe Jamie, who's more connected than anybody. But yeah, I get a lot of calls from a lot of different groups. You know, Beer is Love keeps us well immersed as far as, you know, what's happening in the nonprofit scene in the states we operate in, and so we get approached a lot. Last year we got approached by eWeb. They were our water and electric
people
here that manage our water and electric.
Right,
so they approached us for their 100-year anniversary last year. We did a beer called Conservation Ale for them, and we gave the money to the Mackenzie River Trust to protect the watershed that eWeb manages, that we all use in our beer. So there was this nice little cyclic kind of, you know, circle of support, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And this year the city asked us to do a beer to commemorate the Eugene at 150. So we have a long list of nonprofit partners that we're trying to help in any way we can. So we brought in the Food for Lane County folks, and it's going to be awesome.
Excellent. And Food for Lane County is?
Food for Lane County is as the name states, they are they basically feed the hungry in Lane County.
Okay.
And they have their own network of partners, including, you know, grain growers. We're using a little bit of Camas Mills barley in the brew, and so there's that little connection there. And We think it's important to give back to the community. Otherwise, I mean, there'd be no reason to have beer without community. That's what it's all about. So,
right. And if you expect the community to support you as business, then you need to turn that around and support them in turn.
Yeah, it's true. And our core value is pretty simple. It's perpetuating better living is what we're about. Whether mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean for ourselves. It means for our partners and for our community, and most certainly our customers.
Right. Absolutely. Very good. And that is definitely a very, very common thread in the whole beer community. Would you agree that?
Yeah. I mean, it's the reason beer was invented, right? I mean, aside from the obvious reasons, like, you know, drinking water and things like that.
Civilization. But, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Just civilization. But yeah, without beer, I mean, where would we be? Beer is the accelerator of the social animal that we are. It's so important for the community on whole.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. It makes it a lot of fun. It's a lubricant. It brings people together. And I wish that America, I'll look positively, aspirationally. I hope that America becomes much more open to the fact that beer came to America in recent memory, at least, is multi-generational families and very family-oriented, and that it's not ever meant to be drank in excess. It's meant to be just really enjoyed, and the whole family can get out there and get behind it.
Yep. You know, I always brag that my 3-year-old daughter's been to every beer fest on the West Coast. Some multiple years. She's been to them all, and I'm it's not a bad thing to me. I'm really proud of the community that craft beer is, and I cannot think of people that I would trust more with my own flesh and blood, you know.
Right, exactly. You could let her run around with anybody that you're familiar with, and everybody would take good care of her.
But not in the last 2 hours of the beer fest. Only in the beginning.
Indeed. You're listening to Beer Radio. I'm Ginger Johnson, your host here with James Book from Ninkasi Brewing. Let's talk a little bit more about The Beer is Love. Was the, let me preface this a little bit. So Allison Grayson's film, For the Love of Beer, documentary on some different people in the beer industry. And I would recommend anybody take a look at that also. It's Love of Beer, theloveofbeer.com. It's LUV. And Ninkasi recently sponsored some of the screenings there at the David Minor Theater in Eugene. Was that part of the Beer is Love campaign?
Not on paper, but it's definitely something we were passionate about. And I guess if you want to get technical, the sampling that we did was we did a little sampling in the lobby, as you mm-hmm. remember. But no, Beer is Love is our program specifically designed at helping artists, community groups, and nonprofit organizations that can actually get a license and sell the beer and raise money with it.
Okay.
Yeah. But,
all right.
But there was definitely a thread, wasn't there?
Yeah, definitely. Right. Well, and you are very gracious at supporting people that, you know, are part of the community. And really, the community is pretty darn large. There's very few people that are not in the extended community, if you think about it. Maybe we should do a fundraiser here at KSKQ and feature Ninkasi. That would be that'd be a lot of fun, especially since you have been very present here with the Last Band Standing, big support on that here in Southern Oregon, and the music orientation. Is that program going to happen again this year, James?
Yeah, it starts in Bellingham next week up in Washington. We're running it Bellingham, Spokane, Boise, Missoula, Montana, the Medford Ashland area, like you said, and where else? Bend, Oregon.
Okay.
We're in our third year in Bend.
Excellent. Yay.
So it's been cool, too, because, you know, like you were talking about earlier, if anyone just tuned in, my music business past has kind of put me in I consider myself a hobbyist now, but I'm able to produce the winner, and that enables them to go out and market themselves, whether it's selling CDs on the road that we can help press for them. But it also enabled us to do things like we did the Ninkasi Northwest Local compilation last year, where we can put the free download card in our summer 4-packs, and that goes out to, you know, anywhere from 30 to 50,000 customers in 6 states. So when they come to our website to download the song, we get to enjoy that traffic, but then we can bounce them off. If you like this, then go hear more at the band site. So it's a real reciprocal way to generate some web traffic and to give the customers free music while they're sipping their beer.
Right on. Sounds like the music community and the beer community share a lot of great attributes.
They're inseparable in my mind.
Please don't try then.
Yeah.
Huh. Do you know of other people in the brewing industry? Well, I think of Marty Jones right off the bat. His musical connections. I think of Greg Cook, his musical connections. Do you know some other people in the beer industry who have strong music affiliations and affinities?
Yeah, I do. I mean, obviously, what Dogfish did with, you know, their Miles Davis beer and all that.
Right.
But I don't know how many people were, you know, you can sponsor stuff or you can have lived it or live it directly.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I do know that the music business is one of the most ruthless businesses in the world. Lots of people get out of it every year, and so there's a lot of us out here who don't want to be in that business anymore. And by default, we're finding our way into other, you know, art-centric professions like making beer. So I'm sure there's tons of music people and making beer all over the place.
Huh. I'm going to look into that. That would be interesting to find out who else has done what. I always love that. Like last week's guest, Hugh Sisson from Heavy Seas in Baltimore, his family was involved in the marble that's on the obelisk, the Washington Monument. And so, you know, to find out all this great stuff, the whole Flies, and I just have to plug that. It's the Flies. It was the band that you traveled all over with, right?
Yeah, that it's funny too, because at the time, like you know how back in the '90s, like you got to have the actress in the video or
right.
Make it on MTV, that whole thing.
Right.
You know, having Katie Holmes in the video.
Is that who that
then,
is?
Yeah. Now she's a Hollywood mom.
Now she's
married to Tom Cruise.
Oh,
just,
wow.
Life goes by quick.
Oh, that's hilarious. That's great. Yeah, I love that. People should check that video out. I just go to YouTube once in a while and I listen to it because it's definitely part of my. Part of my past too.
Yeah, the song's called "Got You Where I Want You."
Yeah, yeah, that's a good one. And you're the bass player, so you're in the red shirt, bouncing around back in the back.
So. Drinking between shots.
Okay, yeah. All right. Where was that shot at?
That was shot in Malibu. Not before, overlapping with my music days. Some of the guys in the band were in a really famous surfing family, and I used to work at their camp in the summer because I was. Pretty much on the road, and I'd come into town and need somewhere to sleep, so mm-hmm. You know, push kids into waves and they'd give me food and get me back out on the road, you know.
It works. And where did people actually jump off that cliff into the water, or is that a trick of editing?
No, we shot it over 2 days, and then day one there's like the fake cliff.
Uh-huh.
With like little you know, old silent movie era trick where just off camera there's like another little cliff that the stunt guys are landing on.
Oh,
and then
okay.
Day two, we went to, Malibu High School pool and jumped off a fake cliff, and that was when we were jumping. So we're just jumping into a pool.
Oh, okay. Well, it's edited really well. It looks, I question, clearly that was like, wait a minute, are they really doing that?
That sounds like a lifetime ago. I haven't even thought about that. You just brought it up. That's funny.
Awesome. This is Beer Radio. You are listening in on KSKQ 89.5 FM. You can stream it anytime at kskq.org. We have another great guest on with us today, James Book from Ninkasi Brewing in Eugene, Oregon. And the company is getting pretty nice and, you know, you got a lot of great people on board. I think that, I think it was either Zoe or one of your other great Ninkasi people, maybe it was Nicole, said that you're almost up to 60 employees. Is that right?
Yep, I think we're up to 57 employees now. We have about 19 more hires that are coming on the first half of this year.
Oh, my gosh.
My team is the marketing team. We have mm-hmm. We have three more hires to do before summer gets underway.
Wow.
And if anybody's listening that would like to see what jobs are available, you can go to ninkasibrewing.com and then /careers, and those are all posted.
Okay, I'm going to look that up right now. So, because, you know, I tease you about needing an assistant.
Yeah, but you have 100 jobs already. How are you going to fit us in?
There's always room for the good ones, James.
That's true.
So let's shift a little bit. Are we doing okay on time? You all right? You don't have to dash up to the car yet?
No, I'm doing good. When my partner gets here, we're going to head out to the car and I can call you back.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit more. You've got a fabulous family yourself, and I'm sure that you enjoy beer and food together. Would that be correct?
Oh, my gosh. Anybody who knows me knows that I have a Weber barbecue growing out of my hip.
Oh, nice.
I've erected special umbrellas so I can, you know, grill in the rain, which is not unique in Oregon, I suppose. But, yeah, beer and food, I mean, come on. That's the only thing I will put down the music for, put the guitar down for cooking.
Great. And so tell us about some of the things that you really like to do with beer and food together or separate pairing, those kinds of things.
Yeah, I like to keep it simple. Obviously, you know, beer's a great marinade, and, you know, I just made a a corned beef in some Otis Stout the other night, which has not always been my go-to. I usually use Believer Double Red. It's a little sweeter, and it's not as toasty. But, yeah, I keep it simple. I like to barbecue a lot, so I have gotten down some pretty crazy reductions, though, on the grill. I got my little foil pouch game on, and you know, I figured out the times and the you know the temperatures and stuff. But what I hate is when your grill wears out, like one of the legs breaks off it, and you have to go get another one. It's like sometimes you can't get the one that you had for the last 5 years.
Right.
So it forces you to reinvent. But I suppose that's good too.
Yeah. I used to sell the heck out of Weber grills when I was in the hardware industry. I just love Weber. They should probably, you know, there should be some sort of sponsorship coming from them for you to take care of all that.
I know. On the weekends, I'll have my smoker going with maybe a salmon or something in there. And then at the same time, I'll be cooking for the day on my regular standard Weber. And then I'll have one of those little tiny Webers going just to keep coals on hand that I can keep feeding into the smoker. It's ridiculous.
Where did this love and passion of cooking come from? From somebody else, or did it just develop with you, or what's the scoop?
I don't know. I don't know if it's cooking or outdoor cooking for me, but you know, having grown up on the road, my mom was a big hippie, so you know, living in cars while we traversed the country, basically. Always eating outside and, you know, collecting driftwood so you can, you know, cook a soup on the fire or something at the beach, you know, and it's still I love eating outside. I like to cook outside more than inside. At the end of the weekend, I smell like smoky
campfire boy. Yeah,
yeah, totally.
Do you have a special apron that you wear?
Nope, just my soul.
Okay.
Yeah, I get pretty gritty at the end of the weekend.
Oh dear! And I'm guessing your fabulous wife and your fine daughter enjoy the exploits on the grill that you bring in.
Yeah, they like it. They you know, our friends here at the brewery, usually people are over on the weekends. We love entertaining and cooking and drinking lots of good beer.
Excellent. Right on. You're listening to Beer Radio. I'm Ginger Johnson, your host. You can reach out to me anytime, ginger@womenenjoyingbeer.com. You can tweet along with us @WomenEnjoyBeer, and of course, we're on Facebook. Check out our events. Often we do some, often is relatively speaking, but we love to do events in conjunction with Nekasi, who is the brewer of choice today for our guest James Book. James, thanks again for joining us.
Thanks for being here.
Absolutely. From live from Eugene, Oregon. So you're traveling up to Salem, which is how far away?
Salem's an hour from us. We have an event at Venti's tonight. Basically just a hangout tonight.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, just get to hobnob with the folks up there in Salem.
Okay.
You know, I got to say, too, it's awesome that you'd have the marketing guy on your show. I think that's pretty cool.
Well, of course.
Yeah, well, you know, it's all about, we're all in awe. All of us here at the brewery are in awe of our brewers and certainly of Jamie's work and his recipes and stuff. So it's cool that you'd have little old me on here.
Oh, I like little old you, and I like little old him too. But you know, it doesn't. The brewer's not the only one. I've had a whole variety of people. We had Audra Murata from Mother Earth Brewing, who is their controller, who used to be the controller at Dogfish, and we've had researchers and writers, and I mean that's part of my goal is to get people that aren't necessarily the face of the brewery, but there are the keys to making sure everything comes off without a hitch. So thanks for being here. Yeah, absolutely. And plus, you know, I have a huge Jones for marketing, so that's like it's like candy for me.
And in this business, you know, I think in other businesses, you don't want to say I'm the marketing director. It's kind of like saying I'm a huckster or something. But in this business, it's we're selling and making things we love, and I'm proud to be in this business.
Yeah, extremely. Absolutely. Yeah, there'd be no community without beer. Remember, that's your quote for the night. That's a good
one. That's right. And speaking of Jamie and doing stuff with him, you're going to be doing the craft and raft with him with Row River Adventures this summer again,
right? Oh, yeah. Yes, the third annual. We're excited about that. That's in July. There are some seats left. They can go to rowadventures.com. You are right. And that was a ton of fun last year, and looking forward to repeating that whole wonderful fiasco again this year.
I would love to go along. It overlaps with Northwest String Summit for us. I want to be out there doing that. But don't you guys float the Rogue River, if I got this right? You float the Rogue River, and then there's different meals at different cabins or something like that?
We float the Rogue River. It's my third year. The first year I did it with Whitewater Warehouse, which was another independent rafting company, and they have since sold to Roe Adventures. And yes, we do go down the Rogue River, the beautiful Rogue River, and at the end of the day, then we do beer and food tastings and pairings. And along the way, we stop because they've got a lot of really fabulous guides at Roe, and they'll stop. And, for example, we visited Zane Grey's original writing cabin along the way, and a place where the actress, I can see her face right now, and I can't remember her name, but some major Hollywood actors and actresses back in the 40s and 50s who just really wanted to escape Hollywood, they would come and stay. And so there's a lot of really cool places that are accessible, you know, by dirt roads, but they're more accessible by the river. So we have great fun. Hopefully it won't rain as much because it was really wet last year, and you know, it wasn't terrible, but you know, it's nice to enjoy a hot sunny trip down the river, because then you get to jump in, and then you're really thirsty at the end of the day for some great beer, and it's a lot of fun.
Definitely. I caught my first steelhead this year. Did I tell you that already?
No. Now, did you grill it already, or...?
No, it was wild, so I took a picture and let it go, but man, it was incredible. It was up in off the Nestucca, which is a coastal river up there.
Okay.
And it was that during that cold snap in December, and I caught it at about 8 in the morning, and you know, the beer that we had some 22s in the boat that were frozen to the side of the boat. So I caught this thing, and I'm like almost, I was kind of crying a little bit, just drinking a Slayer after I caught this thing, and you know, we're covered in ice. It was just amazing.
Oh, wow. So it's wild. You had to turn it back, or I'm unfamiliar?
Yeah, the native species, the native steelhead, you have to release them all, and then I guess there's hatchery steelhead, and they have that adipose fin right between their dorsal and their tail that the hatcheries will clip off, and that's how you know that they're hatchery.
Oh, that's interesting. So I would love to. You take me fishing sometime?
I would love to.
All right.
I haven't, you know, I did the music thing for so long that I forgot how I grew up in Northern California, so I just got a fly rod, and I'm trying to get back to my roots up here.
Right on. Okay, game on for that one. I'll get mine out of the closet, too, and we'll do it.
Nice.
It doesn't have to be frozen, though. I mean, I don't mind cold weather, but, you know, there's a limit. So, cool.
The beer and the fishing kept me warm. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's nothing like fresh fish on a shore lunch. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Growing up in Minnesota, we did a lot of fishing because, of course, there's over 15,000 lakes. They're not just 10,000, and a lot of great fresh meals. Although, at that time, I was not legally able to partake of beer, although I'm sure I had a sip or two once in a while. But didn't we all?
I'm picturing you out on a frozen lake with the chainsaw hole cut in the ice.
Oh, yeah, drinking, baby.
Illegally drinking beer out of a little wooden shack.
Ice fishing rocks. I've done my share of that, for sure. Indeed. Oh, very good. Well, we don't have a whole lot of time left, actually, so I might actually beat your guy to the punch. I'm going to pause briefly for an underwriter's announcement, and we will be right back with more Beer Radio.
St. Clair Productions is pleased to be an underwriter of KSKQ 89.5 FM in Ashland, Oregon. St. Clair Productions is the Rogue Valley's source for live music, with an eclectic mix of folk music concerts at Ashland's Unitarian Fellowship from September through May. Styles include blues, bluegrass, Americana, and music from around the world. For a complete listing of upcoming shows, go to www.stclairevents.com or call 541-535-3562. KSKQ thanks St. Clair Productions and listeners like you for supporting community radio.
All right, welcome back to Beer Radio. I'm Ginger Johnson, your host. We have fabulous guest James Book on the line from Ninkasi. Welcome back, James.
Hi, how's it going? Thank you.
Good, absolutely. Swimmingly, thank you. And I'm getting thirsty and I'm getting hungry, so it's just about time for a beer, I'd say.
Awesome. And my partner just showed up too, so I don't have to hang up this instant, but if I could call you from the car in a few minutes, that would be great.
You know, we could do that, or we could have you back another time. Can we do that?
That's fine, yeah.
Let's do that. We're going to, I'll just enlighten people with some other great Ninkasi information from the site today. James, thank you so much for being on.
Thank you, and sorry to
oh, no,
eat
no.
and run.
No, no, that's okay. Have a great time in Salem, and we will see you again soon, my friend.
Thanks a lot. Great show. Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to Beer Radio. James Book was our fabulous guest from Ninkasi Brewing today. He had to sign off because they're going to a tasting in a different part of Oregon. And so we're going to share a little bit more about them, and then we're going to regale you with our usual closing song for Beer Radio and invite you to return again next week. So Ninkasi is the brewer, the brewery that we were talking with today. James Book is a marketing manager. Ninkasi is a very prominent, well-known brewery in Oregon. They are just exploding with growth, making a lot of different great beers. Their heart's in the community for sure, and they do a lot of terrific things. You can check them out, ninkasibrewing.com. You can tweet along with them at Ninkasi, and of course, they're also on Facebook. So, well, let's just go ahead and wrap it up then. I am Ginger Johnson, your host. Women Enjoying Beer is our company. We're beer researchers and educators, and so we get to talk with great people all over the beer community, researchers, other researchers, and marketing people, and brewers, and writers, and just so many more terrific people that the beer community comprises. We're grateful to be here on KSKQ 89.5 FM. You can stream, you can archive, access the archives any old time. Lots of other great programming on KSKQ. And if you like what you hear, we sure do appreciate your support since we are community supported. So until next week, cheers.
Sicher muss der Wein vom Rhein etwas Wunderbares sein.
Sicher ist am feinen Sekt etwas, was besonders schmeckt.
Sicher ist der Schnaps so scharf, dass man einen heben darf.
Aber heute seid gescheit, liebe Leute. Im Himmel gibt's kein Bier, drum trinken wir es hier.
Jeder Mensch hat seinen Tick und seine Eigenart.
Eine fliegt auf glatt rasiert, die andere auf den Bart.
Einer möchte nur Fußball spielen, dem anderen ist das Durst.
Wir allein gestehen es ein, wir haben immer Durst.
Vom Rhein etwas Wunderbares sein.
Sicher ist am feinen Sekt etwas, was besonders schmeckt.
Sicher ist der Schnaps so scharf, dass man einen heben darf.
Aber heute seid gescheit, liebe Leute.
Im Himmel gibt's kein Bier, drum trinken wir es hier. Denn sind wir nicht mehr hier, dann trinken die anderen unser Bier.
Empty dreams can only boy's emotions so they'll understand that every single vision that he saw today, he didn't quite believe.